We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now as we study an especially blessed verse which you've given us here in the Song of Solomon. And pray that you open our hearts and make them receptive to the tremendous comfort which you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 3, the final words of the bride as she has praised her bridegroom. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. The bride has finished talking now for quite a while. We will not hear her utter anything now through the rest of this chapter and well into chapter 7. And when she speaks again, it's basically the same thought that she had here in chapter 6, verse 3. Turning the pages of history back to the beginning. The first marriage in history took place in the Garden of Eden. The Holy Spirit has recorded the event for us in Genesis chapter 2, where we read selected verses. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh." These words were spoken while Adam and Eve were living in the Garden of Eden. Then came the hiss of the serpent, and Adam and Eve were driven out of the garden. They had lost much, but there was one thing they didn't lose. They were husband and wife when they were living in Eden, and they were husband and wife when they left Eden. And they took their marriage with them. So the marriage has aptly been called the ancient relic of paradise. The first marriage in the Garden of Eden was a type of a much greater marriage to come. The last marriage in history will also take place in a garden. Only this marriage speaks of better things than did the marriage in Eden's garden. This last marriage is alluded to in the words of the bride spoken in Song of Solomon chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. It takes place in his garden. My beloved is gone down into his garden to the beds of spices, to feed in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. The same serpent who attacked Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden has been attempting to keep this last great marriage from taking place throughout all history. And this is very evident in the treatment of the bride here in Song of Solomon chapter 5 in the opening verses of chapter 6. The bride has been seeking for her beloved, but she has not been able to find him. She has called to him, but he has not answered. She has been viciously attacked and wounded by the watchmen and persecuted by the keepers of the walls. The fingerprints of the serpent are evident through all of this. He is seeking to destroy the relationship of the future bride to her bridegroom. The bride is suffering under very, very heavy crosses. It doesn't get any worse than this. But all of Satan's attacks have failed. More than that, the love of the bride for her bridegroom has actually grown. She has praised him to the daughters of Jerusalem. We see the power of the Holy Spirit working in her heart here. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And now we come to the final words of the bride in this particular section. Again, after Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 3, she will remain silent for the rest of the chapter and well into chapter 7. But right here, we have words which prove to be the anchor which holds her ship solid in the midst of a terrible, terrible storm. In some ways, in many ways, these are the most comforting words in all Scripture for the bride. And they're ones that the Holy Spirit will surely bring to mind to each one of us when we are on our deathbed. Her final words read this way: I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. At first reading, there seems to be a lot of repetition here with what she had said in chapter 2, verse 16. Reads this way: My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. But when we look closely, we see one difference, and that difference is a big one. The final words, he feedeth among the lilies, are exactly the same in both verses, and we have looked in detail at that. The word feedeth means to guard, protect, and care for. It's a picture of the good shepherd providing for his sheep and protecting them from the attacks of the wicked one. But the first part of the verse shows a difference. And while the words are pretty much the same, the order of the words is different. In Song of Solomon chapter 2, verse 16, she started out, she said, My beloved is mine, and I am his. Now in chapter 6, verse 3, she says, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. To put it another way, in chapter 2, verse 16, the bridegroom is in the possession of the bride. In the opening words, my beloved is mine. But in chapter 6, verse 3, it's the bride who is in possession of the bridegroom. I am my beloved's. There is a tremendous difference here. Look at the time sequence in the two verses. Going back to chapter 2, verse 16, the bride says, My beloved is mine, and I am his. So the question would be, when did the beloved become the possession of his bride? When could she say, my beloved is mine? Well, who really knows? I know there are some people that say that every child of God should be able to know the exact time, place, and sequence in which he was converted. I don't believe that for a minute. There are some that can do this. Paul knew exactly when he was converted. When he was on the road to Damascus, then his name was Saul, he was on the road to Damascus to capture Christians and put them in prison. And he saw the light when it appeared from heaven, and he was converted by the power of the Holy Spirit and his word. And so Paul and Saul could say, I know exactly when I could say, my beloved is mine. But that's rather an exception. In my own case, I'm not sure exactly when I could say this, my beloved is mine. The timeline here is so important, and yet it's kind of blurred for us, except there's one thing that's very, very clear. And that is that when the bride, God's elect, when the bride was conceived in the womb of her mother, she was a sinner. She was an enemy of God. She was a lost and condemned creature. She was under the power of the devil, and she was destined to spend eternity in hell. And she certainly could not say, my beloved is mine. She couldn't say that. Some proof passages, we're not guessing here. Psalm 51, verse 5, and a few among many, by the way. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. When my body was being formed, it was formed in iniquity. Ephesians 2, verse 12. At that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And this is the condition of every one of God's elect by nature. This is the seriousness of the rebellion in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve defied God, listened to the lie of the devil, bought into it, and rebelled against their Creator. We think of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 to 26. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Many, many other passages in Scripture teach the same thing, that by nature, all of us were conceived and born in sin, members of the enemy camp, hating the light, loving the darkness, and destined for eternal punishment in Satan's kingdom. For the elect bride of Christ, a change took place. When instead of being an enemy of Christ, she can say, my beloved is mine. My beloved is mine, and I am his. And exactly when that took place, we're not really sure. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, and the wind bloweth where it pleaseth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. But the process is described for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Now, this is taking us back to the first day of creation, right? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God brooded upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So picking up that theme, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is called in Scripture the first resurrection. It's the moment when the bride, who was an enemy of Christ and hated him, could now say, my beloved is mine. My beloved is mine. What a change has taken place. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 puts it this way. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, one thing is very clear in all these verses, and that is that God is the one who is making the first move. And when the bride says, my beloved is mine, this is not a decision that she made. It was a decision that the Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit worked in her, and she had no part to play in it and nothing to do with it. That's very, very clear. Son of God put it this way, ye have not chosen me, I have chosen you. So those were the words spoken back in the second chapter. My beloved is mine. Now we notice the inversion of the words in Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Here she sees clearly that her beloved bridegroom is making the first move. Now the question we looked at when the previous chapter was when could the bride say that the bridegroom was hers? My beloved is mine. When could she say that? And even though we can't pinpoint the exact time, we know that there was a time when she could not say this. She could not say it. She was conceived and born in sin, an enemy, a child of darkness. She could not say, my beloved is mine, at that point. Now we look at what she says here. I am my beloved's. And when did this take place? It took place in eternity past. It took place in eternity past. Looking back to that, way, way, way back then, before there was anything created, she could say, I am my beloved's. I belonged to him before the mountains were created, before the hills and valleys were created. I belonged to him back in eternity. This is comforting beyond words, and we're not guessing. Words of the bridegroom, Proverbs 8, beginning at 22. You've heard these before, but each one is so precious. Each verse is so precious. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. before his works of old. This is the son talking, the bridegroom. I was set up from everlasting. Notice, he didn't say I was created. Son of God was not created. He's eternal. Equal in power and glory and might with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He's true God. I was set up from beginning, from everlasting, from the beginning before ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. There's a mystery here we can't begin to comprehend. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, when as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. Now we know from other parts of Scripture that the Son also was involved in the creation with the Father and the Holy Spirit. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This is exciting. He continues, when he prepared the heavens, this is the bridegroom talking about the Father, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set up a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the water should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, beholding always, rejoicing always before him. Now listen to this one. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. There are many, many beautiful, precious things that God created. And back in eternity, the Son was a part of it. But his special delight, his heart, was with the sons of men, human beings, and ultimately his bride. So, the love that the bridegroom has for his bride goes all the way back in eternity past. It had no beginning. It was always there. The chapter ends this way, Proverbs 8. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. And backing up a verse even before that, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children. Listen to this. For blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. So, as the bride so very correctly puts it, and remember, she is carrying heavy crosses. And in the middle of the storm, this is the anchor that holds her ship amidst the safe and unmoving against all the powerful waves. I am my beloved's. I belong to him. I'm his possession. He chose me. He loved me from before the creation of the world. If I am counting correctly, 5 times in John chapter 17, The Lord Jesus mentions the fact that his bride was given to him by his Father. And this is very important. I'm going to read the five verses or the five times in a minute. But the point of it is here that the gift, the value of the gift, is determined by the one who gave it. Any parent knows this. When their child goes out into the field and picks some weeds that look nice and runs back into the house and gives it to her, to his or her mother, the thing is precious. Not because of the weeds that they are, but because of the child who gave the bouquet to her. The value of the gift depends upon the one that gave it. And then the bride of Christ, originally when she was conceived and born in the world, was an enemy, a sinner, a lost and condemned creature, hating the light, loving the darkness, nothing to love in us at all. Well, why then does Jesus Christ love us? And the first reason is, I love my bride because my Father gave her to me. She is a gift of my Father. And my Father only gives me perfect gifts. John 17, verse 2. Listen to the comforting repetition here. 17, verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. That's talking about his elect bride. Number one, Christ mentions that, that the gift came from the Father. John 17, verse 6, number 2. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. The second reference of the fact that the bride is a gift to the bridegroom from the Father. John 17, verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. We're talking about the doctrine here of eternal security of the saints. That's what we're talking about. Number 4, John 17, verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And the fifth reference, if I'm counting correctly, John 17, verse 24. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. In John 17, verse 6, there's kind of a double reference. I counted it as one. But the point of it is that the Father is the one who gave the bride to his Son, and that's the first reason why he loves her. You can't have a greater reason than that. You simply cannot. So, this is the work of the Holy Spirit, and here you have more comfort, that it is the, crassly put it, the job of the Holy Spirit to seek out the bride of Jesus Christ, the elect ones, and bring them to the marriage altar at the last day, to give them a glorified body, which is like unto the body of the glorified Son of God himself, and unite her to him in a marriage in his garden, a marriage that is going to last forever. And the Holy Spirit doesn't make any mistakes. He doesn't miss even one. the opposite of I can't understand this. Second, what?
Verse 11 also. Did you say that?
What?
Verse 11 also, John.
I've got another reference to look up here, but I'm going to keep going right now. The work of the Holy Spirit was evident so clearly in Pentecost, which is a kind of a sudden reversal of what happened back at the Tower of Babel and the confusion of tongues when nobody could understand anybody else, and if you didn't know the Hebrew language, you were cut off from Scripture. So, reading there from Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and the strangers of Rome, and Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying to one another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. So the blessed truth is this, that the eternal security of the bride is held in the hands of the Father, the hands of the Son, and the hands of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to seek out and find every one of God's lost and his elect and bring them to the marriage altar at the last day. Some examples of how accurate he is in doing this. Abraham was one of God's elect. He was worshiping idols for the first 75 years of his life. The Holy Spirit sought him out and converted him. Rahab was a harlot living in the godless land of Canaan. The Holy Spirit sought her out and brought her in. Ruth the Moabitess was living in Moab, land that was under the curse of God to the 10th generation. The Holy Spirit sought her out and brought her to the marriage altar to be united with her bridegroom. The woman of Samaria was a godless person also, an adulteress, but she was converted by the Holy Spirit at Jacob's well. Naaman was a Syrian, captain of the host of the king of Syria, but he was brought in by the Holy Spirit. The text then looks forward to our own wedding day, and we think here of 1 Peter chapter 1, opening verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, that means he loved us beforehand. Not he knew ahead of time who was going to make the right decision. No, that's not what it means. Adam knew his wife. He had a very intimate love relationship with her. And that's what the word here, foreknowledge, means. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, there's you got the Father, you got the Holy Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So there you got the Son. Grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. And this is what the bride is clinging to here. I am my beloved's. And the problems I've got and the persecution I'm undergoing doesn't change that. This happened back in eternity and it can't change. We are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through many temptations, that the trial of your faith, being of much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, and this is the situation the bride was in, I sought him, but I found him not. Whom having not seen, ye love. Though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So the blessed truth here is that our salvation rests in the hands of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and it started way back in eternity past. So the crowning words, final words of the bride in this section, I am my beloved's, and then also, my beloved is mine. It doesn't get any better than this. Kind of a postscript to the sermon, I was given a note here by my wife that there is another occurrence of God, of the Father giving the Son his bride in the previous verse, but the truth still holds. It's a precious, precious thing.